All right, we are coming in our study here to Genesis chapter number 40. And that means we're getting down to the end here. Who knows, we might even finish this up before next century. Well, Genesis chapter number 40, well, what I'd like to do this morning is read the first seven verses. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against his two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed the dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" Lord, being our helper, today we'd like to work on this thought down in the dungeon. Down in the dungeon. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, that everyone that's listening to these recordings, that they're able to get something out of it. I know they certainly have helped me. And I do pray, Lord, that you'd help us to fulfill that commandment there of 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show ourselves approved unto you. We certainly need your help, Father, to do just that. But thank you, God, that you've made so much available to us so as that we can learn, we can grow, and we can become the Christians that you'd have us to be. Pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this time, and help me, Lord, to present this the way that you'd have me to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. So, once again, Joseph is going places, and it's still downward, at least as far as man sees. The previous chapter showed Joseph being cast into prison. Here, he is made the rank of prison trustee. Even with all the surrounding depression that threatened to consume him, it was only his body that was going down, though. His soul was still resting high on God. As a result, God was able to continue to use him, even down there in the dank, dark prison. Now, to begin with, let's first set the scene with the displacement we see in verses 1 through 4. Now, we don't know exactly what happened that these two were thrown into prison. They just made Pharaoh mad at them. Now, given their job titles, it would be easy to surmise that someone had tried to poison Pharaoh, whether with the baked goods or whatever he was being served, and the butler had the responsibility of tasting everything first. If he lived, it's all good in the hood, and if he dies, well, Pharaoh knows, don't eat or drink that. And of course, we will see down the line in the Bible where Nehemiah, he's got the same job as the butler here, only it's over in the Persian kingdom where he's the cupbearer. And quite frankly, the butler or cupbearer generally had a very close relationship with the king because of the fact that, hey, he's tasting everything before the king does. And it certainly ends up working out to Nehemiah's advantage. And in a roundabout way, it's going to work out to Joseph's advantage here. Now, both of these men had to be the most trustworthy of servants. And as such, also, they would be the first ones to be blamed if something happened. If it seemed like someone tried to poison the king, hey, go talk to those boys first. You know, they're the usual suspects. They were therefore locked up until probably the investigation could determine who was guilty. Also, it could be just as a deterrent for whoever was determined, you know, might have also been involved. Hey, don't try it anymore. We got these two guys, and, you know, that sort of thing would happen. Now, Joseph doesn't know it yet, but God has placed the three of them together. In the short term, Joseph is going to get a little help for himself because some of the best relief for heart sorrow is ministering to others. And that's certainly what he's going to get to do here. He's going to get to help these guys a little bit. Obviously, the butler more so than the baker, as we do read further on down in the chapter. Now, so how does this relief come? Well, it's coming through their displeasure, which we see in verses 5 to 8. Now, that night each had a dream, a very strange dream. And in a culture like theirs that put a great deal of stock in the dreams, yeah, it really got to them that they didn't understand what they had dreamed and that there was no one around that could help them understand their dreams. They knew they needed somebody. And as far as they knew, there was nobody around. At least so they thought. Now, the interpretations of dreams, and I'm going to try to pronounce this word, and y'all forgive me if I don't get it quite right. It's pronounced oniromancy. Okay? That's the interpretation of dreams, the fancy word for it. I think we'll call that like a $20 word. And a person who was able to do this, you know, they were in high demand. Because such dreams, you know, that could be interpreted and actually, you know, they were thought they could show the future. They were key to future events that were coming along. And it certainly did end up being key for the three dreams, the two that the butler and baker had, and then Pharaoh in the next chapter coming up. And good thing that Joseph was there, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Now, God already had everything arranged as he wanted it done. Now, the Bible tells us over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verse 1 to 5, and I'm not going to read it for you for the sake of time. Basically, it tells us that great care was to be taken by God's people when it came to one of these dreamers of dreams and the one doing the interpretation because of the strong connection to false religion. Now, just because God used it to work this way here in Egypt doesn't mean it's got the seal of approval. This is how we can go about doing things. No, it was for that particular time, that particular moment. And God wanted the Israelites to understand that wasn't something they were supposed to fall back on. They were supposed to lean upon God, start to finish. And if God chose to end up working that way, great. If he didn't, great. Now, obviously, we read throughout the pages of Scripture instances where God did end up working that way. But we also have to keep in mind that Satan always has his multiples, shall we say, of counterfeits. And that they're going on at the exact same time. A great abundance of counterfeits, I should say. Now, getting back here to Joseph, he was on the level. And given his situation, one couldn't blame him if he ignored these, you know, what all was going on. But he could have said, hey, you know, one of you two, maybe both of you tried to kill Pharaoh and I don't want to get involved with you. But instead, he unselfishly took the time to try and help those around him in their time of need. Like I said, some of the best relief you can get is by helping someone else. It's going to get your mind off the problems you're in. It's going to make you feel good if you're able to help them out, and no matter how little it is, it's beneficial. And Joseph ended up taking advantage of their displeasure, but in a good way. So when they told him what the problem was, he was able to correctly identify what was going on. It's the only one who could truly help them. He was able to identify that person, say, hey, interpretations belong to God. You can only get this stuff from God. I'm going to be the mouthpiece here, but God is the one who's going to give you the answers. And it's just the exact same thing we read about over in the book of Daniel, in chapter number 2, where Daniel comes before Nebuchadnezzar, and he's telling him the interpretation of the dream. And in fact, Daniel 2, verse number 28 says, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dreams and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then, of course, from there he goes on to tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream and breaks it down for him. And if you remember there, the challenge was that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember the dream. And all the wise men and soothsayers and all that say, tell us the dream and we'll give you an interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar said, no. If you can tell me the dream, then I know the interpretation you got is the correct one. I don't want you trying to pull my leg or nothing. At this particular time, Pharaoh didn't require that. Neither did the butler and the baker. They were able to tell the dreams. Joseph was able to give the interpretation. In his particular story, he was given a glimpse of world events. But here, Joseph, he was about to give these two a glimpse of world events as much as their own personal world, shall we say. You know, I am a person, and what goes on around me, that, you know, that's my world. And these boys are about to see that. One of them, his world's going to come to an end. The other one, his world's going to go on. Now, first we are going to see deliverance in verses 9 through 15. The butler's dream was pretty straightforward. It more or less reflected his job, which was to serve the king his wine. Joseph took note of the three branches, that it was a specific number, and God quickly showed him how they stood for 3 days. And that by serving Pharaoh in the dream, it meant the butler, he was going to get his job back. Yay! He would only have to wait 3 more days. Wow. I knew something like that was going to happen. I could wait 3 days. Might even be able to do it standing on my head. But, needless to say, you know, Joseph here, he's given some good news, and he passes that good news on to the butler there, and he starts thinking, hey, you know, 3 days, it's possible, good Lord willing, it's possible I can get out of here. So he very innocent request on his part. You cannot fault the man for asking. He simply says, hey, remember me when you go and talk to Pharaoh. Remember, I am innocent. I was captured. I was brought here. Everything's been against my will. I've done nothing wrong. I've given you some good news. Man, just make mention of me to Pharaoh, please. Seems like, you know, we got some possible deliverance going on here. Now, of course, the baker, he hears what's going on with the butler. He gets all excited because he recognizes a little bit in his dream being similar to the butler's. So we see he's going to tell his dream to Joseph. But here we find the danger in verses 16 to 19. The baker, seeing these positive interpretations, man, he probably got all excited, all giddy, figured, hey, there would be good news for him as well. So he rattled off his dream as well. And most likely he had noted the similarities, like I already said. You know, he got the three here, the three there, you know, that sort of thing. And he figured that would mean good fortune for him as well. Now, in his particular case, he had three white baskets, which again refer to 3 days. But the description white, I can't get past that one, because when I think of that white, it reminds me of Miriam. Remember when she spoke up against Moses there, and the Lord struck her with leprosy? And the Bible records that she was leprous, white as snow. You go and get over there into the parables there, and Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and whatnot. And he says, you're filled with dead man's bones, and you think of bones being white, and painted sepulchers that were painted white, and you know, a lot of death, it seems, around white for something that's supposed to be so pure. And I gotta tell you, this that little description there, it kind of lends itself to a guilty verdict, and why he ended up being executed. The investigation probably wrapped up and figured out, hey, it was the baker that did it. With the loaf of bread in the kitchen. Sorry, that's a Clue reference there that really went sideways on me. verse 17, the word translated birds. I want to point this one out to you. It isn't speaking about the cute little birds, you know, tweet, 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 tweet. No, it's actually talking more of the larger, unclean type birds. Birds that would eat dead animals, roadkill. Which is the sentence that Joseph ended up pronouncing on the baker in verse number 19. In 3 days, you're going to die. and the birds of the air, all those vultures and carnivores and all and whatnot, they're going to come down there and they're going to feast on your dead body. So, at the end of the 3 days came the day of reckoning, which we see in verses 20 through 23. History records that Pharaoh's birthday, he had a custom of releasing prisoners. Now, the evidence must have shown the butler most likely innocent and that the baker was guilty. Each man received what Joseph said he was going to get. Butler a pardon, baker had his neck stretched. Now, Joseph must have thought this would be the day and he would get released. Can't blame him. You know, he gave good news to the butler there, and he's innocent anyways, and, you know, unfortunately for Joseph, fortunately for the people, though, that wasn't on God's calendar. God needed to keep him there a little longer, get him ready for the position he was going to end up having. Now, on a human level, it is sad enough to be disappointed, but worse when the sting of that disappointment comes from having been forgotten. And Joseph was forgotten. Man forgets. But thank God, God doesn't forget. Amen. Now, 11 years end up passing since Joseph had arrived there in Egypt. But God is still moving pieces into place. It's kind of like a big chessboard there. And he's taking his time about it. And quite frankly, it was going to be another 2 years before Joseph was going to stand before Pharaoh. Now, you may be in a world of hurt, my friend. Things may not be going right for you right now. But I want you to know this. You need to hold on tight. Just like David said there in Psalm 37, I have been young, now I'm old, and have not seen the righteous forsaken nor received begging bread. Hold on tight to that faith in God. He'll take care of you. He took care of Joseph here. He's working things out his way in his time. Sometimes when we pray, the answer is yes. Sometimes we pray, the answer is no. Sometimes we pray, the answer is be patient. So let's be patient, brothers and sisters, so we can get the victory. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved. Thank you for your attention.